listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
I hate to say it, but it's a LaGrange kind of day.
It's a beautiful morning.
That's pretty good.
If you're still listening, this is Known Legacy. We're happy that you're checking us out. Check us out, knownlegacy.org, info at Known Legacy if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or if you just want to know about Bill's hair product. It looks fantastic today, Bill.
I have to get a haircut.
You do.
It's like a little shaggy. It is literally like it's out of control. Well, and we're looking through new haircuts, and I was like, I could probably pull that off. And I'm like, and then I see another one. I'm like, no, I'm not 28. So I'm like, I need like the old cool guy. Yes. I'm like, I'm not cool, but I am old. And so there you go.
Just thank your lucky stars you still got hair, man.
I do. The problem I notice is I got to do more like the fluffy stuff. Because you can start to see the balding in it, and you're like, oh, I'll just be nice and fluffy from now on.
Anyways, follow us on Facebook.
Yeah, hey, nice.
Instagram.
Thanks for being here with our personal lives.
So we're talking about deodorant today. What do you guys use? Just kidding. So here's the question to kick us off. In the spirit of two pop culture pieces that have been on my feed lately. One is they are remaking Goonies.
Are they? Did you know that?
That's the rumor that I'm hearing.
But is Sean Astin going to be in it or no?
I think he's a little old.
He might be the dad.
Maybe he's the dad.
Oh,
yeah. Come on.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
So they're remaking it, and a bunch of Gen Xers like myself are like, Hollywood, do not mess this movie up. Like, do not Snow White this movie. Right, and that's the other.
Do not Snow White this
that is the other remake that currently is going on. So I thought it would be fun to kind of have the question: if you could remake any movie and modernize it or update it or whatever, what movie would you remake and why? I'll go first because I had time to think about it.
Go for it.
All right, I would remake 8 and 9 of the Star Wars trilogy. I would remake them both. I would get rid of pouty Luke Skywalker, who's disheveled and disgruntled and just like this
good call.
Bitter old man. He's no longer the hero. He's just get off my lawn kind of guy.
Yeah. Good call.
And then 9, which is just basically a space odyssey of Romeo and Juliet, where they fall in love. They're from different families, and then they kid, and then they both die. And I'd remake them both. I think they're trash. Just start it all up again.
Yeah, I didn't like how Luke was this grumpy old man. I'm like, time out. We had all this vision of like him being this great warrior at the end, and you're like, and then he gets depressed.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is going on?
Dudes get depressed. I get it. But come on, man. This is Hollywood.
He's drinking green milk or whatever that was. I'm like, what's going on here? Sad day. Do better. Be better.
Do better. Wake up. You're still in the running. Let's
go.
Let's go. All right. What about you, Bill?
Well, wait. So is there a movie you would not want to remake? Is that what you said, too? Is that the other half?
Oh. I didn't think about that in the drive over. I'll come back to me on that.
Okay, because I've got one that I know.
Thanks for running point on the.
So to remake a movie, I would say, for me,
I know what it is.
What?
Well, okay. For me, the one that I would love to have remade.
Okay.
Because I think it's a phenomenal movie. Hunt for Red October.
Oh.
I think that would just be fantastic.
Yeah.
If you got the right actors in there.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of one that I don't know. Kyle, do you have anything that comes to mind? I'm still processing.
So I would, it's probably a more obscure movie, but it's called Final Countdown.
It's a final
I don't know about
countdown.
That one.
So it was Charlie Sheen and some other, I can't remember the other famous actors, but basically it's the USS Nimitz in the 90s going back.
Do they time travel?
Through the time travel to December 6,
1941. Oh, yes! Wow. Okay.
And it's a great story, but the graphics.
Oh, horrible.
Were horrible. But the story's great.
Yes. So, I do remember that. And I remember thinking, wow, that was a fantastic movie. Yes. That's a good one.
I'm still thinking, but there was this show that I just watched, Man in the High Castle.
Yes.
And I liked the first two seasons, but I was like, if I could, I would redo the ending. Because it was literally the dumbest ending I've ever seen in my life. And so I'm like, I wish that we could redo that. I would say one thing I would never want redone, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
No, you got to just keep the classic where it is.
Yes.
Because, I mean, right now, first thing, it'd be really depressing if you went back to 1995, just to be honest. And you're like, I don't know. I mean, because we still don't have flying cars. I'm super right. disappointed. So anyways, yeah, that's kind of where I think I would say just don't do that one. Yeah. So
That was great. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, another one you cannot recreate. Mm-hmm. Do not touch it.
No.
Don't think about it. Just let it be. Let it be. All the John, let's just put that on the table. All the John Hughes movies.
Leave them alone.
Yeah. Don't touch them. They're pop culture perfect.
Which ironically is a Gen Xer, and you're like, just leave us alone. Like in so every Gen fight X. on you know online, it's like, why are you waking up the sleeping giant? Just let him sleep.
Just give us our movies, and we're fine.
And
okay?
Just shut your mouth. So anyways.
We saw what you did with Wolverine and with Red Dawn. We saw what you did with that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Don't.
Abysmal.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't mess with our
movies.
No.
You know, and I forgot we still have a guest on that we need to probably get to.
By the way, did I just turn into Luke Skywalker?
You kind of did.
Sorry.
It went full circle. We're good. Sorry. And, you know, in that, hey, we want to introduce our guest, which is Chris Parnell, who is the...
Chris, welcome, Chris.
The owner of BP Pump and Supply. So glad to have you on, Chris. What was the... Can you ask Chris the question, too?
Yeah, Chris. So if there's a movie that you could redo or modernize or, you know, however you want to say it, what movie would you choose? And if there's a movie you're like, don't touch it, it's in it's perfection. Don't mess with it. What movie would that be?
Yeah, so interesting. I would say Cool Runnings, the Disney movie about the Jamaican bobsled.
Okay,
I need more Cool Runnings, so let's remake it.
That's not a bad idea. Good answer.
And for the one not to touch, let's not ever touch Forrest Gump.
Okay.
I would agree.
That's a good, yeah. Because you're like, that is one of those movies you're like, all right, that's good.
I don't know what you could, it is kind of perfect. It's perfect.
Although the true villain in Forrest Gump is Jenny. Just so we know, let's just, that's a whole other podcast, but we will go there someday.
She manipulated and used him.
Exactly. Jenny. Okay. Man, we're so glad to have you on. We wanted to have you on and connect with you. Just to give you some backstory, a few months ago, I got to connect with Chris and do some stuff at his business. But then as I was there, I was getting more inspired by what he said than probably what I was saying to his team. But I wanted to share, I wanted you to share some of your story. So maybe just share some of your backstory, the business that you're in, and then we can kind of move on to that other story. But please share a little bit about yourself and your journey with the Lord and life and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's you know, I like to say it's a pretty generic, boring backstory. You know, I grew up in West Texas in a Southern Baptist home, was saved at a vacation Bible school at 10 years old. And
PBS, all right.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And so, yeah, very, very normal. Went off to college, came back, and really had never had plans of coming back into the business, but, you know, God opens and closes doors in weird ways. And so, yeah, I've been here, 21 years now, here at BP Supply. So no.
Wow. And so you said you were going to, you didn't want to come back. What caused you to want to come back there?
Yeah. So coming out of college, had a lot of my undergrad was in engineering and I had a lot of offers at different places outside of the Permian. But I had my high school sweetheart
always a girl.
Yeah. It's always a girl. It's
always a girl, man. Yeah. There's always a Jenny.
Yeah. So she was still in school here. So I decided to stay here and we got married my senior year, her senior year. And fortunately, all of the areas that I would have taken job offers, natural gas prices actually collapsed the year I graduated and they canned all of those projects. Yeah. So really, it was one of those times where it's like, God, okay. Like you know what you're doing. I absolutely do not. So, I'll continue to follow you.
That's awesome.
So I got to ask, I'm a fan of the documentary called Landman. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Mm. It's a true story of a man in Odessa, Texas.
Oh, man.
Is there anything true about I love the show, by the way. Love the show. Is there anything true about that show?
So I've actually not seen it.
It's probably best. But your soul's in a better place because of that, I promise you.
Right. But the clips I've seen, I can see is probably a vast exaggeration of what actually goes
fair,
on. But.
Fair statement. Yeah. Fair statement.
Next thing you're going to say is Yellowstone wasn't a documentary either. That's
I know.
Hurt.
Come on. That's just getting ridiculous now. No, man. Well, that's okay. So you've been there 21 years. And so what BP has been in the, I mean, but the business has been around for how long?
Yeah, so we've been here since 1983.
Okay. And so, has it been family owned the whole time, or?
Yeah, so it was started in 1983 by my grandfather. Wow. And then and the same year my dad came on, and they ran the business. And my grandfather kind of turned it over in the early 2000s, and then my dad ran it till really about 2009, 2010, and then transitioned to me. Yeah. So, and they're still around. My grandfather is 83 years old. He still comes to the office every day to write in a spiral notebook everything we've done. And, so
that's
it's
awesome.
Fun.
So I have to ask, because that third generation, sometimes you can feel like the family business is more of a burden than a blessing. And so there could be that internal desire to say, I'm going to go out and forge my own way. I'm going to do it my own thing. And I don't want to be a part of the family business, blah, blah, blah. Did you have any wrestles with that? And outside of having your own Jenny that brought you back, was there ever a tension about going back into that family business?
That's a good question.
Versus going out to, do something on your own?
Oh yeah, 100%. I never wanted to come in and be thought of as a silver spoon, or that I was just riding on the backs of what the previous generations had done. And so, it was really, it was my father, I think his wisdom that is when I came back, he said, you know what, why don't you start a different division of the company? And grow and expand that. And looking back now, that was very helpful, because I could kind of, rest in the fact of like, well, I did that. And
yes.
And so you don't live with all the doubts of what if I'd have went out on my own or done something different. So yeah, that was real helpful.
That's awesome.
That's a brilliant dad move.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Because it allows you to develop the leadership skills that you need to, because again, you're not just daddy's boy. Fantastic.
No, it's good. Now, so how is that dynamic with, because I know that you're a follower of Jesus, obviously, spoiler alert, everybody, he knows Jesus. But I mean, how has that impacted your leadership in there and then the business as a whole?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the main thing is we do oil and gas supplies and services, but that's kind of our incognito mission. Our real mission is to love people well and show them that businesses can be a safe place where you're not just a number, you're a person. And so we really try to be people focused, not just with our employees, but our customers and our communities.
Yeah. No, I love it, because even walking in and seeing the dynamic, the family dynamic that you have, the people, the support. It's funny, when I was there, even someone, I forget the one guy's name, was it Alex, I think it was, who called me out. I can't remember his name, because I said, I for some reason wrote in PB instead of BP. The guy's like, I don't work at PB. And I'm like, yep. And so so from that point on, he became my proofreader on every single slide. Does this look good? But I did. I love the dynamic and the general, like, man, it was a feel of we're for each other. And that's very rare.
Yeah.
And so so I love that. Man, so I love that you've created this culture. But I know before that, it wasn't, you weren't always in the same headspace from how you talked in your story. Share a little bit about your journey and that Colorado trip, all that kind of lining up to that. Can you share some of that story?
Yeah, sure. So like I said, I was saved at 10. And really from probably 10 to 18, the church I was in had a really good youth group and had youth pastors, and there were, God put people in my life that were really the primary disciple makers. And so there was a lot of spiritual growth for me through those time periods, through mission trips and doing some of that. And when I went to college, that actually continued, and you know, there were still people pouring into my life and guiding me, and was really involved with church and everything that God's plans were for me. But after college, like I said, we had just gotten married. We worked through college, so we took night classes, and in general, we were kind of just exhausted with life. And so we hit what looking back was one of the worst decisions we can make. We kind of hit pause and said, you know what, we're burnt out on everything. We're burnt out serving at church. We're burnt out doing all these different things. So let's just take a step back. And really, that turned into 10 years of this kind of lukewarm apathy. Yeah. And so, we slowly kind of, we picked up that anchor and that boat just kind of drifted off. And rather than thinking about loving God, loving people, we started to think about loving ourselves more. And, yep. We were more concerned, living in Midland, you work Monday through Friday, but then you get out of town on the weekends.
Yes, you do. So, you escape as fast as you can.
That's right. Yeah. So, we would go to church and be involved, but that only if we weren't out of town, traveling, hunting, fishing, pursuing all of our selfish desires. And that led me to a bad place because I started to really focus on what can the world give me? What can my career give me? I started to focus on money and possessions. And that happened all the way, from 20 to when I was 28 years old, in May of 2014, we had our first child was born. And obviously that kind of changes your perspective, but
kids will do it.
Kids will do it. Yeah. And really, and I'll go back, my wife, who is so much wiser than I am, had already kind of started to say, hey, look, we've traveled a long ways down this wrong path. We need to kind of turn it around. But I was really stubborn and not listening. So
this pattern seems to be around the table, just so you know.
Yeah.
We're all shaking our heads.
You're in really, really good company right now. So.
Yeah, for sure. So, but what's interesting is, I had pursued my own selfish desires for that amount of time, but I was still extremely, I had no joy in my life. Every single thing, every accomplishment, every possession I had, any new number of financial success I had just left me feeling empty. And so my best friend and I had decided that, what would be really cool is if we went on a backcountry archery elk hunt in Colorado. So, we start planning this, and it's like, in my head, this is where my joy is going to be. This is going to be it. This is going to be the pinnacle. Yeah. So, September of 2014. So a few months after my son's born, we go on this trip, and we hike in, like 7 hour hike into this kind of remote area of Colorado, high country, 10,000 feet, beautiful. And we actually, on the hike in, we get lost.
Oh,
and
no.
we end up down in, because this is like pre cell phone GPS days and stuff. Right. So all we have is a paper map. So we end up getting lost, and kind of once we figure our way out on the way kind of back up, I partially tear my Achilles.
Oh,
and this is on day one. Day
how
one.
How many
of
days
a,
is the trip?
It's a 9-day trip.
Oh my.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, again, it was just a little thing that's like, I thought that this was going to bring me a lot of joy, and this is already starting to suck pretty bad, which I'll go back, like, through this whole story, I don't think we change so much from our experiences. We change from our reflection on those experiences. And so a lot of this stuff,
wait, can you say that again?
That
was solid. Can you say
really
that one more time?
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think that we change so much from our experiences. We change from the reflection on those experiences.
Dude, that's a mic drop.
That's good
fantastic.
Right there.
Fantastic.
Wow. Okay, I'm sorry. Keep going. I was like, wait, can you say that again? That was really good.
Yeah, so a lot of these things you'll hear me say, I didn't really piece, God didn't show these to me till even years after.
Yeah, later.
Kind of learning from this. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Achilles deal happens, and so I hunt a few days like that, and I think maybe on day three, you know, we're elk hunting, but we're in bear country, and so we'd carry a sidearm with us, and by day three, I was really struggling, so I'm like, I need to shed weight on this pack, so I leave the firearm, which was the dumbest thing. I leave the firearm behind in the tent, and we go
keep
out
the beef jerky.
leave the gun. Exactly. Yeah, I kept a bag of M&Ms, but I left the firearm outside.
Yeah.
So we go out hunting, and we hunted all hard all day, and we're actually on the way back, and it's just almost dark, and
wow,
we're hiking along this trail, and we kind of come up over a knoll, and there's a mama bear with two cubs right there. And in the moment, no. it's oh no. It's like, I reach for my sidearm. I don't have it. My buddy doesn't have it. And so all he does is he just kind of raises his hand and screams, "Hey bear." And I'm like, my Achilles is busted, but I guarantee you I'm going to outrun you in whatever direction we're going.
I will run you. I will break your leg and keep going. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. But fortunately she turns and looks at us for a moment, and then she turns and she walks off with her two cubs. And that really, looking back, kind of, you know, it's like, okay, the ankle thing happened, but I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I don't need help. And that reflects in my life to, you know, my walk with God at that point is like, I don't need God. I may get hurt and down, but I can pull through this. And then this kind of thing happens. It's like, ooh, you know, there's not much I could have done, you know, to change that situation. And fortunately, you know, God decided he didn't want me to get eaten by a bear at that moment.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like, that was a little click in my head, like, that's odd, you know? But we keep going, we hike up and we get back to camp, and it's starting to rain. It's cold. Our camp's about at 10,000 foot. And funny, you know, we're camping in two separate one man tents, right? Backpacking tents. Well, my buddy snores like a bear. And I had gotten no sleep, you know, the previous nights. And so I'm like, dude, I'm moving my tent like 75 yards away, bud, because I can't do this anymore. So I, you know, in the rain, I'm getting my tent, I move it all over and stuff. And you know,
and again, be honest, are you a little mad at this point? Like, are you just a little like frustrated? Like, you're just, it literally is like Jonah underneath watching Nineveh. And you're like, I'm just ticked at the situation of what's going on here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. Because again, in my mind, I thought this was going to be the most amazing, joyful experience possible. And so far, you know, it just sucked.
Yeah.
So, but I had moved my tent over, and then, you know, when I reflect on my life at that time, I was a lone ranger. I was in no community whatsoever. The enemy had, you know, allowed myself to think that I was better off kind of doing it on my own. And so just like that parallel, I had a friend close by, but I chose to remove myself and move the tent way over there. Which ends up, you know, coming into play. So anyway, I moved the tent over. It starts to rain and my stupid tent starts to leak. Which is just like, you got to be kidding me, you know?
What is going on? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is such a divine meeting from God. I'm telling you. Yeah. As you're telling the story, I'm like, there's God all through this thing.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got my gourmet backpacking dehydrated meal. I make that. I'm sitting in the tent and I've taken my boots off at this point, and the kind of the rain has picked up. So it's kind of a little bit loud. You can't really hear, you know, much of what's going on. And so I start eating the meal, and all of a sudden I start to feel like I'm choking, like something is grabbing my throat and like slowly squeezing it tighter and tighter. And so I kind of reach for a drink and I take a drink and it doesn't go down. And then so I immediately start to panic. I yell out for help, but nothing comes out. And so, you know, I'm trying to figure out what in the world's going on, you know? And so I'm trying to get my tent unzipped, still trying to yell out for help. At this point, I'm feeling like I can't breathe. And I start to, again, remember, I moved my tent far away. So I start to take off running to my buddy's tent, and I trip because my ankle's busted.
You're right.
And so, and I end up like face down in the mud, and I'm just trying to army crawl to his tent. So I'm covered in mud, wet. In that moment, I thought literally, I was like, I'm going to die on this mountain because I'm never going to make it to him. I don't even know what he's going to do if I make it there. And in that moment, it's like, you know, my thoughts did not go to my possessions or my success or what I had at that time, but they went honestly to regret that I had spent 10 years of my life pursuing my own desires instead of pursuing what God called and gifted me to do. And that in that moment just weighed heavy. You know, I was thinking about my family, my, you know, a couple month old son that I thought I might leave fatherless. And so, you know, it hit me all at once, but I end up making it to his tent. And so I'm like kind of beating on the side of his tent and he unzips it. And I just, you know, start to grab my throat. And so, oh, going back, my buddy's a paramedic. So
okay.
That helps
okay.
in this situation.
That's good. Yeah.
He opens the tent and I'll never forget. So, you know, when you're backpacking, you're counting ounces. Like we'll cut the ends off your toothbrush so that it you know, you save a few yeah. ounces. So he had one pill bottle that he had put all sorts of different things in into this one pill bottle. He had it sitting out of his pack right there next to his leg. He grabs the pill bottle, opens it up, and he dumps everything out onto his hand. And all of the medication falls out of his hand except two small Benadryl. The wow. two small Benadryl lay right in his hand. And he ends up, he gets me back. He ends up getting it down my throat. And it's like also in that moment, you know, I went to the one thing that could help me, and that one thing, the timing was perfect. The medication that came out was perfect. And so again, like when we're in times of struggle, we have to go to our King, and we have to, because he's the only one that's going to save us. And his timing is perfect. His plan is perfect. And so he gets a Benadryl out, he gets it in me. He starts to calm me down. It starts to work. I can start breathing again. And then the emotions just, you know,
flood.
So I'm like, yeah.
Can't even imagine.
So I'm like, you know, I'm supposed to be this tough dude where, you know, these two tough dudes at 10,000 foot in Colorado, and we're crying in a one man tent together, you know, just about the whole situation. And so, you know, I finally get calmed down and I'm like, okay, like we got to go to sleep. And he's like, no, you're not sleeping alone. He's like, you're going to sleep right here in this one man tent with me. I'm like, bro, I ain't sleeping in one man tent.
This ain't Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We got a 3-day stench going on. I ain't sleeping in this tent. But he's like, no, you're sleeping in this tent. And so, we did, we spent the night in a one man tent. And then it, you know, it's just reflecting on everything. And it's like, God, the path I'm on is not what you have for me. It's not going to lead to what you want, you know? So we get up the next morning, and like I said, we're only a third of the way through our 9-day hunt. And I'm like, hey, I'm done. Like, God, if I keep going, God is going to allow me. Like, I don't want to see what he has next for me. I'm done. No. You know? So, I'm like, let me hike out and, you continue the hunt. And he's like, no, he's like, I'm hiking out. I'm going to make sure you're safe. I'm gonna hike out with you. And I'm like, no. Like, you have a limited amount of time. We were actually in elk at the time. I'm like, if you hike out, it's gonna ruin your hunt for you. He's like, no, I'm hiking out. And so he packed out with me all 7 hours.
Wow.
And it was like, that's the community and the people that God created us to be with is the ones that in the suckiest of sucks, they're there to help carry your backpack, right? And so it was a good reminder that, again, we're as men, we can be isolationists, but we're meant to be in community and we're meant for people to be able to carry our backpacks.
Dude. Yeah. Okay. First off, have you contacted Mark Wahlberg to be you in this movie that
I know, right.
you need to do
exactly
like this? If you haven't started writing a book on this yet, you've got to write
a
book.
You need to.
And
you
it
need
needs to be like, it's in the reflection. Like that's the title. It's in the
something
reflection.
Like, oh, it's so good.
Because there's two big things that came out of this story. First off, praise God that you're still alive. Second, that you were able to reflect and see what God was doing. And it just reminded me, like, we in our busy lives, God has given us a gift called the Sabbath, right?
Yeah.
Take a day to just, and the whole invitation in the Sabbath was like, take a day to not work, but reflect, because you're so right. Our understanding of God, us, and our relationship with each other is in the reflection, yeah, not the experiences. And too many of us men run at a pace where it's from Little League to work to, you know, the dinner party and everything, and there's no time to just be still and reflect that God is good. And that's first. And second thing that I'd love for you to unpack a little bit is there's a lot of guys that are listening, and they're extremely successful. Maybe they have a good family. Maybe, yeah, they have their job of their dreams or whatever. But they're missing that element that you talked about, joy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're missing that element, joy. What would you, if you're riding around or having a coffee with them, and they're like, man, I don't know where joy, I haven't been joyful in so long, what words would you encourage them with? What would you share with them if they're in the midst of that joyless season?
Yeah, that's good. There's only one source of true joy, and that's Jesus.
Man,
if you're pursuing as your top priority anything outside of that, you're gonna not reach what you want. And so that's really what it is. It's very simple. That's the top priority. Prioritize that over everything else.
I love it. One more question I have for you. You know, you mentioned about the wandering, the 10-year wandering. I lived in Midland for 11 years, saw a lot of wandering, saw a lot of success from the outside. Talk to the guy who's in like year three of wandering right now. Mm. Like, what would you say to him right now before they get to the busted Achilles and the bear, you know, allergic reaction? Like, yeah, what would you say to them right now?
Yeah, if like you need feedback mechanisms in your life. And so whether that's a band of brothers that are going to tell you the honest truth of that you're off track, or your wife, you need that, because if I would have had that, I think I wouldn't have wandered so long. I would have had someone, you know, draw me back in. So, you know, I just finished studying some stuff about the life of David. And what's interesting is, you know, once Jonathan is killed, the scriptures don't really talk about anybody else kind of feeling that ride or die,
yeah,
brother with David.
Wow.
And
yeah,
then at least in what's documented, he kind of drifts off after that. Yeah. And so yeah, I wonder, you know, had he had someone like replace Jonathan, I mean, I don't know that he would have done the same thing. And so it's the same thing in our lives. We need men that are willing to have hard conversations.
Ride or die men.
So mm-hmm. I love the call to action to reflect, to see what, you know, to hear what God has been doing in your life, and to, man, get into community.
Yes.
Like you need it. And man, I love it. Hey, before we jump into Fast Five, any final thoughts you'd want to share with those who are listening?
So good, Chris. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the only thing I'd like to say is a quote that really I saw after my experiences, and that's from Watchman Nee. It says that a day must come in our lives as definite as the day of our conversion, when we give up all rights to ourselves. Without reservation, we surrender everything to him, ourselves, our families, our possessions, our businesses, our time. All we are and all we have is his, to be held henceforth entirely at his disposal. From that day forward, we are no longer our own masters. We're only stewards.
Wow. Oh, wow, that's good. That's good.
Where was that from?
Watchman Nee.
Watchman Nee. Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's really good.
Fantastic.
Dude, this has been, we're going to have you on again, just so you know, you're stuck yes. with us now. So so deal with that, just so you know. But man, as we continue, we got our Fast Five segment that Travis loves so dearly.
So cheesy, but you know, it is what it is. I love it.
It's so good. So man, are you ready for our Fast Five, Chris?
Yeah, let's hit it.
Awesome. Question one, who do you most admire and why?
This is going to be cliche, but it's 100% my wife, because again, she has more discernment and wisdom than I've ever seen anyone. And, you know, I think it's one of the highest compliments to highly respect and love someone that's so close to you. Cause we know the good, the bad, the ugly.
Yep.
But it's 100% my wife.
That's fantastic.
And it's amazing how much the Holy Spirit sounds like our wives' voices. It's pretty amazing.
100%. 100%.
I love it. I love it. Okay, number two, where would you like to go on a vacation that doesn't include elk hunting and busted Achilles tendons?
Everything
I'm just
else.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Where would you like to go on vacation?
Yeah. So I really want to go to Israel.
Okay.
But yeah, that's always been a dream of mine. We were planning on going in 2024, but obviously kind of
yeah, that didn't work out.
Oh, is there a conflict there right now?
Yeah, right.
Why are we laughing about that?
I'm
not laughing, but no,
Dear
I mean, but like,
Jesus,
it's just crazy.
Me.
Yeah, sorry, it's okay. All right. Number three, what are you currently reading, whether the Bible or another book?
Yeah, so honestly, I'm reading this guy right here more than you.
Yeah. Look at that.
You've just become our favorite guest. Well done, sir. Well done.
Yeah, I'll send you a bill later, but
that's it. That's it. I got to find my question. Can you find that?
Yeah.
I can't find that's wild. Okay. Well, I appreciate you the prompting at. You guys can get that at morethanyoubook.com. I don't know where. Oh, there it is. So thank you so much, man. I hope it's a blessing to you.
It is.
It was a blessing to be there with you. So, I mean, but honestly, I feel like I just read your book today is what I feel like. It was amazing. So, all right, number four, what is your goal you have for this year beyond writing the book that we just told you to write? What is your goal for this year?
So one of my goals for this year, so I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. My goal this year is to be more curious than I am angry. Because
I mean
I'm really good at being angry, but I'm finding that if I'm a little more curious, asking a little better questions, there's a lot more fruit and opportunities for discipleship in that.
Dude, that's another mic drop right there.
Oh man. So are you gonna start your own podcast too? Is this just do you want us to just put you on every week?
No. That's funny, yeah.
No, it really that's solid. That is solid.
The second book. Be curious.
Be curious. Travis is going to be your publisher.
Yes,
so.
There you go.
That's
okay,
funny.
Number five, what's the most impactful piece of advice you've ever been given?
Yeah. I'm going to go with my grandma used to always say, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot sustain you. And
ooh.
So that's
she's
really
a wise
helpful.
Woman.
That's wise.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Wow. Wow, man. This has been life-giving today.
Absolutely, Chris.
Thank you so much for your willingness to be on. If you're in West Texas and you have a need for BP pump and supply, if you don't, just go get some lengths of
take
pipe
the man
from
out
them.
To
Reduce,
lunch.
Take him out to lunch. This is great. Yeah, check out BP Pump and Supply. We are so glad to have you on today, Chris. We will have you on again, man. The blessing of what you had. And man, I'm excited to continue to do ministry with you. And I mean, any final thoughts, any final words before we call it a day?
No, just thanks for what you are doing. It's meaningful. Thanks for having me on.
Chris, you are
thanks,
a blessing
bro.
To have on, man. Guys, thank you so much for listening today. You can check us out at knownlegacy.org. Follow our socials everywhere that we are, social media. And if you like this, please share it with a friend and follow us at YouTube because we're all about our beautiful faces being shown to you, not just our like ears.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts, man?
No, man. God bless you guys. Find the joy and be curious.
Have a great week.
Remember, it's in the reflection.
Thanks for listening to the Known Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so email us your questions or comments to info@knownlegacy.org.